Now I want to invite you to a time of worship today that normally I would preach about this exact time, but today you're preaching, okay? Because we're going to lift up the name above every name, the name of Jesus. And we're going to do something entirely different. I've never done this, but I think it's very important that we understand the significance of it. So I'm going to talk about why we celebrate in hanging of the greens and bringing the names of God and placing it on the Christmas tree. So this will literally be a Christmas tree to us, a Christmas tree, okay? It'll be all about God. So what's in a name? A lot, especially when you talk about knowing God through his names. Getting to know God by his name is more than simply learning a new name for discovering a new title he goes by. Learning to know God by his names open up the door to knowing his character more fully, especially his power more deeply and his love more intimately. In Scripture, God reveals himself to us through his name. So to fully grasp the significance and power of God's names, we first need to understand the importance of names in ancient culture. In Old Testament times, a name was more than simply a group of names or a nomenclature, the devising or choosing of names. Rather, it revealed important information about the individual or whatever was being named. A name is so important in biblical settings that Scripture frequently mentions God's name God himself actually changing someone's name to reflect a new truth or a new reality. For example, Abram, which means exalted father, was changed to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. Jacob, whose name meant grabber of the heel and deceitful, received a new name after wrestling with God. And his new name, Israel, means one who prevails. Moving to the New Testament, we see Jesus naming Simon his new disciple. You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The significance was that the Greek word translated Peter is Petros, which means little rock. In Scripture, a name often connotes purpose, authority, makeup, and character. In fact, a person's name is frequently seen as an equivalent to the person that's being named. When Jesus said in John 17:26, I have made your name known to them and will make it known, he was referring more than just sounds put together in a word. In Jesus, God came to earth in the flesh and unveiled his heart, his mind, his will, his character, and being through the revelation of that name, of his name. In the Bible, name is a translation of the Hebrew word shem. In the Old Testament, the Greek word is onema. In the Therefore, name appears more than 1,000 times in Scripture and routinely carries with it the idea of power, responsibility, purpose, and authority. A name was not only expressed the essence and significance of what is being named, but also was duly authorized accessing the quality it conveyed. And because of the depths of God's character, he has various names reflect the many ways he relates to humanity, and we're going to hear those in just a minute. But let me give you an example. God is called Elohim when revealing himself as the all-powerful creator. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord's banner of victory, a name you need to know when seeking victory in your life. God is also known as Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord who heals. When you are in need of provision, get to know the name Jehovah Jireh, God, your provider. God has a name for every situation we find ourselves in. We need to learn the names of God because when we know his character and his capacity, we will find rest and discover peace and power in his covenant care of us. Amen. Matthew 1:21. Let me just share these verses in closing. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior and comes from the Hebrew word Joshua. Joshua's name means Jehovah is salvation. God's son, Mary's son, was called Jesus the Christ. The word Christ means anointed. It is the Greek equivalent of Messiah. He is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus is his human name. Christ is his official name. And Emmanuel describes who he is, God with us. So Jesus Christ is God. Philippians 2:9 says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." John 12:32 says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself." Where his name is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Today we lift up his name above every name. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's my sermon. Now I'm going to ask you to finish preaching it by taking your ornament, whatever many of you have put a lot into this. And so I want us to take this time. And what we're going to do, we're going to ask you to come to the microphone here next to the Christmas tree and take your time. Tell us why you're bringing this ornament and what it means. If you've got a scripture, we want you to read it. But we want you to see this tree as a time of lifting up the name of Jesus, okay? So we're going to lift him up. Now listen to me carefully. And he said, "Where my name is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And so I pray today, as we come to this time of worship, that we will hold high the name of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. And as we come, that we will worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me pray that prayer as you get ready to bring your ornament. Father, as we worship you now, by lifting up the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Your word says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Well, Father, we bow our knee today and we confess that Jesus is Lord. And we lift your name on high. We want to put these ornaments on this tree and hold your name up high because you are worthy of our worship. And you said, "Where my name is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." Would you do the work of the Holy Spirit today and draw all men to yourself? And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name as we continue to worship. Amen.
If you have your ornament, just come on up and get in line. Our verse is Isaiah 9:6. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So our name today is Prince of Peace.
The line of Judah, Revelation 5:5. "And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the line that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.'" The line in this case is Jesus being from the family line of David. Jesus is also the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah.
Since we've blocked it.
Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." The Hebrew word for wonderful is pela. It is described as something that goes beyond all human explanation, something miraculous. The prophet Isaiah declared that the coming Christ would be a wonder. This not only describes what he does, it describes who he is. He himself is the wonder. Psalm 139:6 reads, "Such knowledge is too wonderful For me, it is high. I cannot attain it.
The Greek word for counselor is yoet, the advise well, to advise well, give purpose. Long before the child was born and the son was given, Isaiah foretold that God was planning to send a counselor for the brokenhearted people of the world. So what is the importance of the name Wonderful Counselor to believers today? Wonderful Counselor represents the practical application of God's teaching for true life as it pertains to everything, our marriage, our parenting, finances, careers, and mostly our relationship with God. So John says in 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly.
Through prayer and God's word, Christ is able to give us the needed direction for life. How thankful we should be that Isaiah spoke of a wonderful counselor.
Jehovah, Lord, Master, and recreational God.
Genesis 2:4. El Betho, the God of the house of God. Genesis 35, verse 7.
When Moses saw the burning bush, he went up and saw how it went, and he met God. God wanted him to save his Israel, the nation of Israel. And Moses asked God in Genesis, or Exodus, he reads chapter 3, verses 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you here. And again, that's God saying that. And a little later on, when Christ was on earth, there was an argument of who he was, and he's trying to explain to the Pharisees who he is. It says in John 8:57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Bible is laced with the term I am, how he uses that. Example, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega in 22nd chapter of Revelation. I am the beginning and the end.
We have the word of truth coming from the book of John, the 8th chapter, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The silver writing represents the word of God, purity, salvation, and truth. And the purple represents royalty and the wealth of the word. And the word is God from the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
I was going to read from the book of Exodus 15:26. The name I chose is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. But it's more personal than that, because my wife is a two-time breast cancer survivor. And to see God work, not only in healing her, but bringing it to revelation that it even existed, was just miraculous. And that's something that goes deep. And I thank you for this opportunity.
Our ornament is based off of the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. So our ornament is a heart, and on it says Faithful and True, because God is always faithful and true, and he is with us during both good and bad times. He's always, always there, even when we don't think he is. So he's faithful. Go ahead and hang it.
Ours is Messiah, John 1:41, Messiah the Christ. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ.
Our ornament is a key because Jesus is the key to the resurrection and life. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Ours is 1 Timothy 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
I had the word Yahweh, which means self-existent one. Because God does not need us to exist, but we need him to live. In Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.
Okay, I have wonderful, because God is wonderful. So I have, it's Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us son is given, and government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
I have Cornerstone. Christ is our cornerstone. Ephesians 2:19 through 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
I have Abba Father, Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. So my ornament is a little adoption certificate. I have the mighty God of Israel, Genesis 33:20, and he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel.
And I have the faithful God, Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is good, and he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We have the rainbow, which was after the floods, as a symbol of God's promises that he is a faithful God.
Our name for God is Savior, and it says in Luke 2, verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
We chose advocate. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifices for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All right, this word advocate in the Greek translates as the parakleton, which generally meant in the first century AD is one who defends the accused. And this concept of advocacy still persists today in modern jurisprudence. We would understand that person to be the defense attorney, the attorney of the accused. But in Revelations 12, this plays out on a very cosmic scale, where Christ stands before us and the accuser in the presence of God Almighty, and he defends us. And he covers us, our guilt and our sin, with his blood. Amen. And this was exemplified. Amen. And this was exemplified in Luke chapter 23, while Christ was on the cross, nailed to a cross, beaten, bruised, bleeding, with a condemned criminal on either side. The religious leaders ridiculed him. The Roman soldiers mocked him. Other people spread lots for his clothes. And in that moment of torment, he looked to heaven. And he asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And with his death on the cross, he made this advocacy full.
Amen.
And our ornament represents the cost Christ paid for our advocacy.
Amen.
Ours is Adonia, Master over all, Deuteronomy 3:24. O Lord God, thou hast begun to shew thy servants thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? And we also have El Salai, God my rock, because without a sturdy rock, we couldn't get anywhere without a strong foundation.
Amen.
2 Samuel 22:47, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. And we also have Jesus, Savior, Matthew 1:21, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And lastly, we have Lamb of God, our sacrifice. Without his ultimate sacrifice, we wouldn't have any salvation and any, you know, we just wouldn't be, we would just be in God, being devil's hands if it wasn't for his salvation, for us, for his sacrifice. And I couldn't. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which has taken away the sin of the world.
We have light of the world. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and let the joy just shine through your heart. And Luke 2:30-32 says, I have seen your salvation. He is a light to reveal God to the nations.
We have Elohim Chastity, and I had to do a little research because, you know, that's the teacher side of me. So if you go way back in the pictograph forms for Hebrew, it means that, well, there is a wall and then a sprouting seed. And for grace and mercy, those things mean the wall and the sprouting seed. The Israelites, the wall was made by tents, and the separation was the wall of the tent, and you kept the inside safe from the outside. And that's what grace and mercy are. So it's loving kindness that goes on and on and on. And you keep it separated. So that's what mercy is. And this, the verse that goes along with it is Psalm 59:10. And it's Psalm 59 is when David is singing a psalm from when he was fleeing from Saul, when Saul sent men out to try and kill him. And so he is in that time saying, my God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. And it's also, some people say, God of my mercy. And we have to remember that, I think, that God's mercy is loving kindness, and it is supposed to go on. And we're supposed to show that and keep it safe, and it's supposed to go on. And if we say, God of my mercy, we are supposed to have loving kindness on, even to our enemies, even when it's hard. So that's what we have.
Amen.
So I chose the Alpha and Omega, and I chose a globe-shaped ornament to represent the never-ending God that we have. Revelation 22:13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so we can rest in him knowing that he will always be here. He always has and always will.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a little cross here. It's a very pretty little cross. Nita made it. She puts them together. The cross reminds me of the cross whenever Jesus, the cross that he died on. Well, it wasn't a pretty cross. The whole scene isn't a lovely picture as far as pictures go. But it was a great and wonderful and mighty thing whenever Jesus came, gave his life for us, died on the cross, that we might have everlasting life.
Amen.
The verse that I chose with the name Savior is John 3:16. If you would, repeat it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One more subject that I want to mention, and it's not very pleasant. But I know during the Christmas season, we're busy. We're busy doing many things. Throughout our whole life, we're busy. Going here, going there. And this is the time that we reflect. But I want to remind each and every one of us that one day, we will pass away. We'll be in a coffin. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing that will make any difference out of everything that we've ever done is our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's my prayer this morning that if we have anyone here in this congregation who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Don't keep putting it off. Accept Jesus.
Amen. Amen.